Thank you, Brother Bishop. I didn't get too many questions in here, which is very good. That means the pastor's answering all your questions, and you haven't got any. That's just wonderful. First of all, I want to thank you for offering. I certainly appreciate it, and may the Lord richly bless you for it. I've enjoyed my stay with you very, very much, Brother and Sister Dirks and your family, and trust that Lord will enable us to get back again sometime. I'm just not a world traveler, even getting across America. But very happy to be with you. Appreciate it very greatly. And this morning, I don't want anyone to misunderstand me. When I keep telling you I'm no authority and I have, you know, nothing to bring you, just really in the sense of anything new and all, and if you're to listen to your pastor, sometimes I bend over backward because of the problem that lies in the world today and amongst many of us. I don't know if it's premeditated or just something that sprung up, but it's one of those things that just scares me to death, and that is that there's no leadership amongst us as men anymore. It's the local sovereignty of the local church with the pastor ordained to carry you through. There's no one coming around to tell you what to do, how to do it. If they have anything to say, for sure, something. So it may sound like at times you think, well, did Brother Dale agree with Brother Dirksen? Well, if there's anything we disagree, and I don't know what it is, it's just my bending backward to make sure that the in my estimation, how the prophet taught, to get away from any Nicolaitan spirit, to keep the Spirit of God moving amongst us by the word that the prophet left. That's why I sometimes speak the way I do. And then people think, well, does he think that they're different from us? No. Even if we did think different, doesn't make me right and you wrong. Not at all. It's we're all looking at the same word, and I think many times many of us are saying the same thing in a different way. And this caused a little misunderstanding. So I wouldn't know one thing we disagree with you as a people here. I would certainly see the Lord blessing you, and that you're on the right track. And I believe you are with all my heart. And you stay with the message. It's like Paul said, if the Lord hasn't shown you some things you need to know, he'll show you those too. I believe that. I believe that there's things that I need to know, he'll show me. Now, because there's so very few questions, I heard there's going to be quite a few, but you didn't bring them in. And I'm not a mind reader, and even if I were, I wouldn't do it. I'm not going to get myself involved in questions, but we'll just read these and give a very quick answer. See, it said, did Brother Branham ever say anything about welfare? Only within the church, to my knowledge. And he said, how it was to be conducted in your church order. Would you please relate the events? Well, we'll just wait for that one a second. One is that Brother Bale, sometimes Brother Branham seems to say something that isn't right, like the 700 and 7,000 in the field. He told the church he was expecting the people to be spiritual enough to catch those things. Can you explain how we would do that without adding or subtracting? Well, it's just things like that you watch. Flip of the tongue, that's all. He said 700 instead of 7,000 many places, and of course, always I found in his meetings there were those who wanted to just sort of figure that there was something, some deeper meaning in it. I don't know that there was. He never use the word 700. To designate the rapture, he said there might be many as 800. But if you were talking about one out of every million, it's very strange that shortly after Brother Branham died, it was said that there are now over 700 million Christians. So is there one out of a million? I don't know. I would just do as he said. If you see some little thing like a little slip of the tongue there, just catch it and leave it be. Don't try to make something out of it. But by all means, don't try to explain what he's already explained. That's the most important thing. So that's all I can add to your thought there. And there's over here in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And we're getting through so quickly. All we do is sing the song, take the offering, and go home. The 6th chapter, 1 Corinthians, verse 18. The flee fornication, every sin that a man doeth is without the body. He that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Well, that's true, because when you're married to a woman, and woman married to a man, they're one flesh, and therefore that any sin that you do in that respect is a literal sin against your body. I suppose some might even say that such a sin as that brings on venereal diseases, which stealing wouldn't do, and cursing wouldn't do, and maybe fighting somebody wouldn't do. This is the one sin the body is involved in, and we should flee it, because the other sins are more or less something out there that you participate in, and they don't have such an effect on you. But this one here is one where you're actually sinning against your own body, and your wife is your own flesh, and you're sinning against her flesh and your flesh at the same time. And it's one thing that so many people get involved in. Because when you take stealing, a man might want to steal to get a better suit of clothes, a better car and all. But this sin is one of sexual pleasure, which is so easily indulged in. And it's an absolute sin against the body. God forbids it. It's a sin against your own flesh, your wife. And it's you'll notice how Brother Branham said, if a man is involved in such a thing as that, or a woman, you haven't sinned against God. You've sinned against your marriage vow, your partner. You go and make it right there. So that's what I see in there. And it's something that is literally prescribed today as a physical indulgence that is all right, that isn't all right. There's nothing in there that a person should ever look at as right. It's wrong all the way through. To flee it means to flee it. And you can tell by that it's something that wants to overtake you. And even in many homes, it's such a virulent thing, just get rid of it. It said, should our women wear veils on their faces? No, they don't need to. They don't need to do that. They don't need to wear little hats on their heads or anything else. The thing is to not try to cover yourself up as far as the face is concerned, but just leave it the way it is and be transparent as possible. Now, another question came up here, another question as much as it's asking me to tell you about the events that took place after the eulogy at Brother Branham's funeral service on December the 29th, 1965. Well, I won't go into that very long except to tell you that as the service was in progress, there are people in Connecticut and various parts of the northeastern part of the United States had noticed that the sun was going through particular antics and phases, which is not normal. For instance, if you look at the sun through a disk which has been smoked or colored, you can see the sun literally jump. But you mustn't look at it with your naked eye. Yet they could see it with the naked eye. And we also saw it in Jeffersonville. The telephone call came through and said, is there anything peculiar going there? Is the same as it here? There most certainly was, because you could look up in the sky and you could see the sun with the naked eye, and it didn't bother your eye at all. It was looked as though a plate had been inverted over the sun, and you could see it just jumping as it does. And that that plate on the sun, or that covering, would turn to blood red at one time. Then it would turn like to a black, and then
to a purple,
and various colors. And this went on for some time, literally over a period of time which had been to hours. And also at the same time, there was a white cloud that had formed right across the sky from east to west. And then an airplane went through and left a trail of the white fog, making a perfect cross in the sky. And then around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, when the sun had turned to blood, dark, like literal black hands appeared on the face of the sun, and it would register 4:02, which could signify the fourth seal was all but over, because the bride goes up in the fourth seal, the fifth seal is in progress, and then the sixth seal will break in the 3.5 years of judgment under the two prophets. Well, at the time the sun was jumping up and down, and you could behold your naked eye, right around the time of roughly 4 o'clock, the strangest thing happened. Clouds of blood, as I recall, formed, that literally came from behind the sun and came right down to earth, and clouds of gold from behind the sun came down and came right down to the earth. And as the cloud of blood would float between the sun and the white building, which was by the hospital where we were standing, because my wife had been nursing Sister Branham, went to pick her up, the building turned a pink color. And then when the clouds of gold swept through, now this came right down from the sun. It wasn't something forming below the sun. It was right from the sun itself as I watched it. So you could see in itself was the sun of so many millions of miles away, what a miraculous thing it was. And then when the gold came down, it caused the building to turn like a golden color. Now, at night, every light in town and the white road markings and the pebbles on the road turned a mauve color, such as blood would be under certain conditions, because the red cloud was gone. But this hung on for quite some time. So we deliberately asked the man on the service station, if you've ever seen that around here. He said, I've been here for 24 years, I think he said, and I have never seen it before. This is the first time. So to me, what had happened in the skies was God's great salute to a prophet that had fulfilled his will and was now taken off the scene. I believe it was a great salute. I was so interested in this phenomena, I wrote National Geographic and asked if they had anybody that had taken any pictures. Was there any comment on this phenomenon? And their reply was, no, they had heard nothing, so that I might be able to write somebody else, which I did not do. But to me, I don't know that there is any record. And yet there should have been a record, because this was absolutely a phenomenon seen here in America. Other than saying what I have just said, that to me it was a salute to a great prophet of God, God witnessing in the heavens. I don't know what else it could mean. That's about all I can tell you, but it was certainly tremendous. At this time, I also asked Brother Lee Miller if he'd had a filter on his camera to take some pictures of the sun, but he unfortunately had left his filter at home. He somehow didn't bring it. Then that night, he took some pictures that were delayed shots, and a strange thing happened. The things appeared on that film. There were absolutely nowhere in the yard. And then the strangest thing of all was that somebody took a picture with a Polaroid camera over Brother Branham's grave sometime later, and the identical thing in that picture that was taken that night on December the 29th appeared months later on a film taken over Brother Branham's grave. What it signifies, I don't know. Also in those pictures, there were shown many sevens. I don't understand it. There, if you were to see the pictures yourself, you might get something out of it. I don't know. But what happened that day to me was a God salute to a great prophet and showing the world in the phenomena that what Brother Branham was. Now, I'm not trying to put any great import on it. I'm just saying that's what it appeared to me. That's what it was. And whatever you might see in it, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't want to direct your thinking to say this is it exactly. But it was certainly a tremendous thing. A tremendous thing. I don't know. I just don't understand why somebody with in the realm of astronomy did not catch it. But it was there and hundreds saw it. And the most amazing thing was you could look with your naked eye with no after effect and see it most clearly. Now, that's all the questions there really were. We went through this very, very rapidly. So shall we bow our heads in a word of prayer? Our kind Heavenly Father, we come to you through the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that He is the one through whom we come, the body raised up as a memorial on the throne of mercy there. And we have confidence tonight that that your Spirit will now help us, because we're asking through Jesus that you would teach us the things that we ought to know at this time. Help us to be very calm and careful in what is about to be said. May your grace be extended to us, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to bring a message tonight on signs, S-I-G-N-S, and the Word. Signs and the Word. The reason I do so is because I myself, as I say, you do what you wish, but I myself take a very strong stand that this is a vindicated message. It has been proven. It doesn't need reproving. I don't believe that today any of us need any vindication. I believe the vindication is over. And yet we have today, strangely, some who are speaking in terms of vindication amongst us that believe they're vindicated to tell us what the prophet said, and you believe what they believe or else. And that, I say, nonsense. I reserve my more charming word of hogwash to another time. But it's the same thing. I simply don't buy it. And I'm not about to buy it. When it comes to the evidence which they wish to set forth, which is a vindication of a ministry of power, I cannot buy it. And whatever you do is your business. And I want to lay it tonight open. And from the Word of God, what I see in signs and the Word, so that you might understand how to be more judicious and how to be careful, because I find many people are not too careful. They think that love allows them to listen to everything and accept everything. To me, it doesn't do it. We've had a vindicated prophet. We saw, we heard, we handled, and I am desperately loyal to this. And I don't mean I've got a complex. At one time, I had a bit of a complex, but not anymore. That's gone. I just want to stay with the message. Now, we're going to talk about signs and the Word by going, first of all, to Mark 16, 15 to 20. Now, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast the devil, speak with new tongues, take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat in the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. So therefore my thought is in the last verse, word and signs, or signs and the word. Now there is only one way that I feel I can deal with the truth of this subject, and that is by what might be construed as both the positive and the negative approach.
And so we're going to start with the positive approach of how the charismatic stands and how we were once taught. And looking at it just in that light of signs following the word and just demanding it and believing for it, which is all right. Now, here we read exactly what Jesus said in Mark 16. And that is, he gave promise wherever the gospel was preached, the messenger could expect certain signs to follow that word. And notice what signs were promised in verses 17 to 18, five distinct promises of grace. Cast out devils, speak with tongues, take up serpents, bring deadly things, lay hands upon the sick to their recovery. And it says in verse 20 that it happened exactly as the Lord said it would be. And then in the book of Acts, we find that it is also proved out. In the book of Acts, we have tongues. Acts 2, 4, 10, 46, 19, and 6. Then we see devils cast out. In Acts 16, 16 to 18, where the little girl with the spirit of divination, the devil was cast out of her. Then in Acts 28, in about the 8th verse, we see hands were laid on Publius, and Publius was healed. And then in the same chapter, at chapter 28, verses 3 to 6, we saw the serpents were picked up. Paul accidentally got his hand to a viper, and the viper, which normally would have hung on till the man dropped down dead, the viper bit him and fell off in the fire, which was unusual, and the man did not die. Now, we have no record of poison being drunk in the New Testament, to my knowledge. I don't know of any there. We do see under the case of Elijah, when they had the porridge, the meal that was made up in the pot was poisonous, and God healed it. But we do have a tremendous case of Sadhu Sundar Singh, the Indian boy, the Hindu, who was converted to Christianity, and when the family could not get him back because he was very wealthy, and they did their best to destroy him in any way but by death, they finally called him in and said, "Now we want to forgive you and talk it over." And so they gave him a potion of poison in such a measure that it could have killed an army. Nothing happened. He just sat through the whole thing. He was a great man, a great servant of God. So we find that everything the Bible mentioned here in Jesus saying in Mark 16 came to pass. But there are other signs that are not mentioned in Mark 16 that are mentioned in the Bible. Now, you'll notice in 1 Corinthians 4:15, Paul admits that he preached the gospel to the Corinthians, and he had begotten them to Christ by the gospel. And you'll notice, and he tells them in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians about some gifts there. And you'll notice them, 4 to 11. There are diversities of gifts of the same Spirit, a difference in administration, but the same Lord, diversities of operation, but the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts given by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, another prophecy, another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, another interpretation of tongues. But these all work in one and the self same Spirit, dividing every man severally as he will. Now you notice that Paul adds to Mark 16. He adds such gifts as wisdom, knowledge, faith, miracles, prophecy, interpretation of tongues, and discerning. And in fact, you can almost find a limitless manifestation of the Holy Spirit amongst the people, according to the second chapter of Hebrews 1-4. Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed, lest it to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression disobedient received a just recompense reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, that's 2, and divers miracles, that's 3, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, that's 4, according to his own will. Now, you can see right here that all of these signs, whatever they are legitimate scriptural signs. Many people do not understand this. That is why there are many, many signs that the Holy Ghost could do amongst us, which we must never condemn and blatantly declare of the devil because we haven't seen them in a certain place in Scripture. It's dangerous. There are many, many things that God could show us that people would deny as being of the Holy Ghost. For instance, when Brother Branham said to that little girl who said she had all the faith in the world, and he said, if you had all the faith in the world, you wouldn't be lying here dying. But he said, so therefore you don't have all the faith in the world, but I'll try to inspire it. He said, will you believe that your appendicitis will be healed because of the burst of the appendix? If I pray for you on the grounds I make the chandelier cord go this way, and I cause it to go this way. And she said, I certainly will. He said, then in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, chandelier cord go this way, which would be clockwise and anti-clockwise. It did it. Now someone would say, well, you see, that's got to be the devil. You also know that Brother Branham could reach in his pocket and pick out a silver coin any time he wanted to. Now, does that startle you? Does that make you think of the devil? Listen, don't get funny ideas. The Scripture distinctly leaves an open door here for a multiplicity of manifestations which could be in the Holy Ghost. And it's dangerous, therefore, to attempt to label anything. Just watch it and let it go. See? Now, that doesn't mean anything goes in the church. We can talk about that later. But when he says here, that there, he said here, signs and wonders. Those are omens. See? That were produced. Yet people frown and say, well, they make it as Pentecost once said, God has no power, but the devil has it all. Then why do you even bother coming to get saved? See, they just don't give the devil what belongs to God. It says right here, signs and wonders, what are they are? Divers miracles, what are they? Well, we know gifts of the Holy Ghost are because they're penned out in front of us. But there's much in the Word that would let us know here that there are fabulous things that can be wrought by the Holy Ghost in a believing people. Now, I just wanted to go back to Mark 16 again, because that's where we were talking. Mark 16, notice 9 to 14. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. Of course, people didn't want to believe in devils, do they? And she went and told them what had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form that absolutely changed unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told them of the residue. Neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now you'll notice this is in the resurrection. Now he gives the command in verses 15 to 18, which you read to you already in Mark 16. Now, and verse 19, so then after the Lord is spoken, he was received up in heaven, sat in the right hand of God. Now keep your finger there if you like, and couple this with Matthew 28, 16 to 20. And the 11 went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, and some were doubtful. And Jesus came and saying to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even unto the end of the ages. Now, notice that verse 19, which I read of Mark 16, and the verses I read over here in Matthew, concerning his ascension power, Matthew 28:16-20, coupled together, see, brings Mark 16:20 into effect. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Now, you see what I'm trying to show you is the command that he gave in his resurrection came to pass because he has all power and authority, and he was with them and in them doing these mighty works, see. And you'll notice in the book of Acts, it was continued right on. Look at the mighty miracle ministry over here in the third chapter of Acts, 12 to 16. When the Peter saw it, that the man was healed at the beautiful gate. The people came running. He said, you men of Israel, why marvel at this? For look earnest on us, as though by our own power and holiness we had made this man to walk. The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up, denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. You denied the Holy One and the just, desired a murder grand on you, and you killed the Prince of Peace, whom God hath raised from the dead. Whereof we're all witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, see the risen Christ. And Jesus' name, through faith in Jesus' name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which comes by Jesus, or through Jesus, hath given him this present sound, this perfect soundness, in the presence of you all. And over, of course, in Acts, the second chapter, 32 to 36, you've got the same thing, that Jesus hath God raised up for all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For it was not David that ascended into the heaven, but he said himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God has made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And so you see God raising him. The power is now in the church that there can and there must be, as a natural course, the signs and wonders of the Holy Ghost. That's why Brother Branham continuously ramps on the Baptist and Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Catholic knuckles around the country. What is the matter with you? If you say you believe in a risen Christ, where are those signs that follow the Word? See, and they should. Well, listen, when I was down in Macon, Georgia, many years back now, preaching in a Baptist church, a bunch of folk came in from the Source of Light Mission, and a woman sitting there who had to go through roughly 7 major operations would have taken the cure. There is the word of God was preached after he healed that morning, and there were miracles by the hundreds down there. One night alone, 2 cases of emphysema healed. Oh, you name it. Absolutely. Even brand new eardrums put in. See? Absolutely. We must understand that. Now, I want us to understand this, as I've been saying. The word of God is to be accompanied by signs and wonders. Preaching is to be accompanied by signs. It is evident that the risen and living Christ is doing the same thing on earth by his spirit he once did in his own flesh when he was on earth. Only he is using the flesh of other men to work through. He makes men apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists and pastors to bring that word. Then that word in the people brings forth 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. Never forget Romans 12 is there too. Now, you know what's in 1 Corinthians 12 already here. Let's go back to Romans 12. And here's where Pentecost made a big mistake. They forgot Romans 12 was in the Bible. Now, said the body has many members. Verse 4, we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to grace given to us. Whether prophecy, we prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, waiting and ministering, he that teaches on teaching, he that groweth in exhortation, he that giveth with simplicity, he that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Right down the line, there's absolutely to be a supernatural life amongst the people by people just blending in and doing the right thing, taking care of needs, helping each other, going on with Jesus, and the supernatural coming in another level whereby the gifts are manifested, tongues, interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, healing, miracles, great teaching, ministry, people exhorting. Oh, my heaven. What? Where are we at today? These things aren't dead. Not gone. Don't ever tell me the word of God's gone. Yes, sir. They should be right here. Brother Branham said, as long as there's a true bride on earth, there'll be a true gift of tongues in her. And I believe that with all my heart. Yes, sir. Now, these ministries are all complementary to the word ministry. They're all complementary to the word ministry. The trouble is, what's happened, people not understanding that these ministries are complementary to the fivefold ministry have put them in competition. So therefore, the blessing of God went off it. The people right today still don't understand that. They still don't understand it. That these follow the word and are complementary to the word ministry, see? Now, there is no lack of constant demonstration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ among the people, those who believe him. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is proving that he is by signs that follow the word. We must never forget it, nor never let it go. What we are to do is to put the church in order and to seek fervently to love and serve one another and thereby manifest the Spirit of Christ so the church will abound in all spiritual gifts and manifestations, and it can be even greater than we think. For when Brother Branham said the gifts as it were, didn't say they were, as it were, could be put on the shelf, he said because of that sweet spirit of love amongst us, it would move everywhere. And that's what's exactly wrong today in the church. The gifts have become competitive instead of ministering among the saints. And until you and I want to absolutely help each other and in honor prefer each other and count no thing as our own. Now, it doesn't mean sell your house and have a commune. I'm not saying that, so don't ever get that idea. But I'm saying this, though. We have got to come to the place of self-abnegation where we're one body, members of each other. Then you watch and see the Spirit of God move by that Spirit of love. But not until then. See? That's what's wrong. I'll prove it to you. Every single illustration Brother Branham ever used. Brother Brown gets up. He says, Sister Jones, leave your home. You're right by the railway track. Now he said, the train's going to go off the track and knock your house down. You could be killed. So Sister Jones leaves or whatever, whoever it is. And I guess I said Brother Brown, Sister Jones. Anyway, it doesn't matter if it's backward. Even the point of the moral of the story is she leaves the place and she's helped. And he said, another person gets up. And he said, what is wrong with this man? Can't get healing. And he tells why he can't get healing. And you'll notice in every single illustration, that gift is operating to help people, not to make you and me look good. That's why the gift cannot be on the floor. Because the minute they're there, somebody starts to look good. Then the word follows the sign instead of the sign follow the word. See, it's complementary to it. Now, I trust you're getting what I'm saying. I preached a whole tape on it. If you want the tape, you can get it and hear it. If your pastor wants you to hear it, I don't even care if somebody even destroys the tape. I preached a whole sermon on it, bringing up point after point. How the prophet brought it up. You see, here's what we've got to recognize. See, now, it can be even greater than we think. The Spirit of God can move amongst us.
in a marvelous way. Look how when Brother Branham broke on the scene, God was demonstrating what lay in the Holy Ghost. See? Well, and in order to bring us to the Word. Now then, if we're coming right back to that Word the way we ought to be, and have the right spirit about it, then certainly manifestation does not leave the church. No, sir, it doesn't leave it. Now, but I don't want to stop there. See, that's the trouble. People stop there. They think that is all the Word says about signs. And they think that's all the Brother Branham preached, but that's not so. There are signs that are found in the same Word that are disregarded. Now, let's just take a point by going to the super sign. We're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 7. And we're going to get into some real good things here, I hope. to 14. Now, moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it even the depth or in the height above. And Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And that was good. In other words, people say, are you supposed to use a fleece? God didn't tell Gideon, but God let Gideon get away with it. See? Now, therefore, the Lord himself, and he said, God said, hear ye now, house of David, is it a small thing that you weary, for you to weary men? Will you weary my God also, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Now, here is the greatest sign that ever was given. It's the super sign. And notice what the Word said about that sign. He said, a virgin. He said, here is the sign the Lord himself is going to give. And notice, it became the Word. And for that sign to appear, it had to be the very Word of God fulfilled, because it says, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. And that's the sign. What sign? The sign of the Word of God fulfilled. And it's a sign. Now, let's take a look at that sign. And we're not going to spend a lot of time, because we don't need to. We're going to go back to the book of Luke, the first chapter, which was the place where Brother Branham took us. So we just go right along there. Now, I'm not going to read verses 26 to 28. Because you already know about it. That's where the angel comes to Mary and tells her that she's going to conceive in her womb, and that son, that one is conceived of her, is going to be of the Holy Ghost. Now, notice what it says here. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. And then it said, the Spirit of the Highest shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest overshadow thee, and that holy thing born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And he tells us there how it is that the Holy Ghost, who is not a sex apparatus, who does not fertilize anybody, no, but he is the Spirit that moved upon the face of the deep, and the creative Word that was in him took that sperm and that egg created in the womb, and by the chemical processes of her body brought forth a child without male intervention. Absolutely. And that it was that one that was to be born and looked for. We have the attestation as we go along into the second chapter, and we go to verses 8 to 12. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Notice, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, the sign wasn't the swaddling clothes of the manger. The sign was the baby. It tells how he was dressed. Once more, we see the Word of God. The Word of God fulfilled. This is the sign. The fulfilled Word of God is a sign. Suddenly, a great host was there, and they were screaming, glory to God in the highest. And they came there, and they saw it. Now, let's go back. Let's go a little further. We go to verse 34. The same chapter. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Why? Because he was the Word of God fulfilled. That sign, the super sign, is the Word of God fulfilled. The great sign. See? Now, let's go back and see a little more. We go. Remember, Anna also had a part in this, which we just disregard that. Let's go to Matthew now. And take a look at a little more. Matthew 27, 33 to 35. Now, and when it came to a place, they came to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, and they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted of it, he would not drink. And that's absolutely in the Scripture. That's the Word of God fulfilled. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and for the best my vesture they did cast lots, and sitting down they washed him. There again is the Word of God fulfilled. The mighty sign
He's the supersign, and everything about him said in the Word fulfilled is the supersign of Almighty God, the Word of God fulfilled. See? Now just remember that. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 24, 19 to 27. That's what we read the other night. We keep reading these verses. It seems that they all dovetail very nicely, and I want them brought to our attention. Now, and he said unto them, what things? And they said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also in our company were astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even so as the women had said, but they saw him not. Then said he unto them, oh, fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophet has spoken. Ought not Christ to suffer these things in his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And as Brother Branham said, when Jesus said, which of you convinces me of sin? He was literally saying to the people, which of you can find one place in the scripture I have not fulfilled? See, the great sign was the word of God being fulfilled. That's the great sign. Every other sign pales into insignificance beside it, see? So here is the great super sign. God's promise of redemption now, according to the Word, is fulfilled. God's Word fulfilled. God's great sign here is a fulfillment of the Word. I repeat, God's great super sign is a physical, evident fulfillment of His Word. God's Word manifested in flesh and to flesh. See? God's Word manifested. I want us to see that. People are passing it by. They forget that God fulfilling the Word itself is the greatest sign there is. They simply forget that the greatest sign is the Word of God fulfilled. See? Now, not gifts given, but Himself the Word manifested. Not the gift. No, sir. They follow the Word, and they're fine. But when you begin to compare them with the Word of God fulfilled, which is the great sign, they pale into insignificance. See? Because all of them will one day vanish away. Now, but we must not stop there. We must learn not to just look at the sign by itself, but we are to go further. We are to see where or for what reason, according to the Word, the sign is there. Now, you've got to do it with every sign. You don't do it with just one sign, the signs that follow the Word, or the signs that which is the Word fulfilled. And we are to take every sign to the Word, because it's only in the Word fulfilled that we can know the hour in which we live and what part of the Word of God is in effect. See? Now, I'm not telling you one strange thing. I'm just telling you in my own way how the prophet put it, see? Now, Israel failed to do so when the super sign was given at the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And many are failing to do so even now. Look at the great sign of Malachi 4, 5, and 6. So let's go back and look at it. Now, he says here in the fourth chapter, remember you the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with statutes and judgment. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the father children, the heart of the children back to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, of course, we know the first part was already done. So therefore it says, he shall turn the heart of the children back to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth. Now, here is a word of God that must be absolutely fulfilled. And when it is fulfilled, it is a sign. And because it's word fulfilled, it becomes a super sign. Far above any other sign, where merely which follow the Word of God. Because those follow the Word of God, but this is the Word of God, which is in manifestation. See? But now listen. When it is manifested, it becomes the sign. What is the sign in this hour? It is the sign of the Son of Man on earth, not in heaven. But it is the Son of Man on earth. Let's go back to Luke 17. And verses 26 to 30, and I've already taught you this. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. Now the days of Noah take place right here on earth, and so did the days of the Son of Man. Now you know that's a sign. What's it a sign? It's a sign of the second coming. Now the days of Noah must repeat, and the days of the Son of Man must repeat. Now the Son of Man was a prophet, so therefore, as it was in the days of Noah, there has got to be a prophet just before the deluge of fire. As there was a deluge of water and a prophet, as the last sign, the last showdown before destruction, so God must once more do the same thing with the prophet. Now he says, he ate, he drank, they married wives, gave in marriage, and so on. Then it says, as it was in the days of Lot. Now what happened in the days of Lot? Melchizedek came down. They saw the manifestation of God, God proving himself, showing it was the hour that the sun was to appear upon the earth, within that very time. Then it says, in verse 30, even thus of the day, in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now listen, who is to come before the second coming? Elijah is to come before the second coming, before the rapture. So therefore, there has to be the mighty sign of Elijah in this earth, which is the word of God fulfilled. And this is that great sign to look for, see? But what happened? You just don't believe it. Now, one has to look at the sign just like in Moses' day, and then let that sign take them to the Word. Now, Moses came as a great phenomenon. You know that God has said, I'm going to let Israel stay down there in Egypt for 400 years, then I'm going to take them out. And God did take them out, but he took them out by a man. One man army. But the point is this, did those people then go to the Word? No, they did not go to the Word. See? They didn't check the Word to let the Word place the sign. They simply used it as a phenomenon. See? Moses himself was a bit disturbed and had a bad time over it. Now, Moses was the word of that hour because he was the deliverer that God was sending down. And the signs pointed to the Word. There were 10 great contests with Pharaoh which were pointing to redemption. But you see, they never placed it with the Word. Never once. And yet they should have, because they had the Word coming down even in its oral form. Now, Israel would not do it then, and they wouldn't do it in Jesus' day. Now, let's go back in Jesus' day, and I'm taking this awfully fast, but I think you can follow me. The 14th chapter of St. John's Gospel, look at verse 11. Now, it says here, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now, he said right here, as Peter said, you know something was happening amongst you. You know that this man was vindicated of God. And they were saying, well, we hope he's the Messiah. But listen, they never took it to the Word to find out. Look at the time when Nicodemus tried to stand up against the Sanhedrin. And he said, does our law judge a man before he's brought into court? And they say, what do you know about it? Search the scripture and see. No prophet arises out of Galilee, those fat heads. No one traced to find out where Jesus was born, which was not in Galilee, but down there in Bethlehem of Judea, where the prophets come from. They wouldn't check that given sign. They wouldn't check the Word of God to place the Word of God in the hour in which it fell. They wouldn't do it. No, sir, they wouldn't do it. Oh, but look at over here in John 5 and 39 now, what Jesus said. Just find it for you here, 5:39. Now, search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify in me, but they never took the sign back to the Word. See? You take every sign back to the Word. I don't care what sign it is. Take it back to the Word. See? Now, however, they loved the signs. They were happy to get all the signs that they could pass off. And now, look at John 10:32-33. And Jesus answered, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these do you stone me? And they said, for good works we don't stone you. Why, you can raise the dead day and night and feed the sick. In fact, we'd love to put an army against it, old Caesar. And if you just feed the army by breaking loaves and fishes and you raise the dead as they die, we'll just knock the spots off of Caesar. We'd love it. Oh, sure. But do you think they would take that back to the Word? They would not take it back to the Word. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. If they'd have taken it back to the Word, they'd have found out exactly the hour in which we live, the hour in which Jesus Christ came. But they wouldn't do it. And he told them to search the Scripture. Whenever you see signs and wonders in these things, you search the Scripture. But they would not look where the sign pointed. They wouldn't do it. Jesus begged them. See, but they wouldn't do it. They would not look to see if it even meant anything. They turned it down. They would not go to the Word. They would not identify the sign. Signs must be Word identified. I don't care who's doing it. You, me, the other fella. Signs must be Word identified. They've got to be. What does the Word say about them? And as Brother Branham said, the voice of the sign. The sign has a voice. Check to see if it's a biblical voice. Check it out. And if it's a biblical voice, then praise it. And see what it's trying to tell you. But they wouldn't do it. See? Now, you know we had to repeat it out, Brother Branham. You know that absolutely. As I told you, here's a man stood in Canada, and he said, I challenge you, bring me 24 of your worst cases. I guarantee healing. And they sat there like a bunch of, I don't know what. Do you realize what that would have done? 24 guaranteed healings would have set the world on fire. But they said, well, if 60% go through the prayer line, we'll just be one of the 60% and see something happen. You talk about a Mount Carmel showdown. You talk about a Mount Sinai showdown. You talk about a showdown. Jesus Christ himself never offered a challenge like that. Yes, sir. Here was Elohim speaking through a man. Challenge you. Sure, they backed away from that and didn't even listen to it. Then when he said, you couldn't hide if you tried, they wouldn't trace that back to the word. They just said, oh my, isn't that a great ministry? Hallelujah. See? They wouldn't chase the voice back. See? They wouldn't see if it's word identified. What does the word say about those signs? What is that voice saying? What is that sign talking to it? Now, we're going to cut a little deeper here, see, which could be the negative. I guess I'm a little bit negative to some people anyway. Now, watch about those signs following the word in Mark 16. Let's watch those signs. People act as though those signs in Mark 16, that's all there is to it. But I'm going to tell you something else to it. See, now watch how God declares his word and see it come to pass as a further sign. Watch Mark 16 come to pass as the word of God fulfilled as a further sign. Not just following the word, but the word itself now fulfilled. So we take that sign to Malachi 4, 5, and 6, which is Luke 17, 30, right back to the word, and here it is. Now keep listening. We're going to hit right now Matthew 24, 24. Now, for there shall arise false Christ, even lying prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, absolute, legitimate Holy Ghost signs, in so much they'll deceive the very elect, if it were possible. Now what are you going to do with Mark 16? Mark 16 is no longer signs following the word, but the word of God itself fulfilled. Because people will rise up with a false spirit and they'll do the identical thing that's to follow the word in a genuine believer. I'm not telling you a lie, I'm telling you the truth. You see every one of them. Every one of them duplicated. Yes, sir. But the word tells it. See? Now, he said, behold, I told you before. Where did he tell him before? Over here in the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter. Watch what he says in verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothing, inwardly they're ravening wolves. In other words, they have an absolute Christian manifestation on the outside, but the devil inside. The heart of the devil, but the character, the manifestation, everything about him looks just like a real Christian. And people say the great thing at the end time is character. Or being drawn closer to God. Or some kind of special life. Let me tell you, the prophet denied it. He had to, because the word of God does. Sheep on the outside, devil on the inside. Now, ravening wolves, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? He goes now to a tree. See, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. By the fruit you're going to know. Now that is not the fruit of the Spirit of the book of Galatians, that's the Word. Because it was the false or corrupt tree that brought a man to death, which was the perverted Word of God, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Brother Branham admitted it. The anointed ones of the end time, absolutely clear up everything he said, where in the time past, he said love was the evidence, and this was the fruit of the Spirit of Galatians. It is not the fruit of Galatians. It is the Word of God that's been perverted, because that's what a false prophet does. And he's got every one of those signs. And look them to the end time, they're going to come up. And many will come to, not everyone that said, Lord, Lord, the end of the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have you not prophesied in thy name? That's one of the gifts. Cast out devils, that's Mark 16. Done wonderful work, Hebrews, the 2nd chapter. And then when I profess, I never ever knew you. You never were in the election. Depart from me, you serpent seed. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now with Mark 16?
Mark 16, following the word, which is simply a sign following the word, and is not the word of God fulfilled itself, will lead you right into a trap. Let's look at that trap. I read it this morning, 2 Thessalonians. Here it is, 3-9. Let no man deceive of any means. That's a double negative in there. For that day shall not come except to come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalts himself above all that is called God, for his worship is God, so that he is God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself he is God. Remember not when I told you these things I was yet with you? And now you know what holdeth, that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity has already worked. Only he which hindereth will hinder to be taken out of the way. Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume the spirit of his mountain, that destroy the brightness of coming. Even him which coming is after working of Satan. And what's the working of Satan? With all power and signs and lying wonders. Now, part of that can be genuine and part of it lying. Brother Branham said the great lying wonder is going to be the money system. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. It doesn't mention Calvary here now. That stands. That's perfect. But Calvary, as I showed you this morning, becomes inoperative when you turn down the Word of God. When you turn down the truth. See? And for this cause, God will send them a strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. And what is stronger delusion than people not knowing the Word at the end time, where it says, these signs follow the Word of God, then turn right around and said, those same signs are done by a lying prophet to deceive the very people. Now, one is the sign following the Word, but the other is the sign of the Word of God fulfilled in the day of Malachi 4, 5, and 6. See? Now, here we see God's Word speaks of a great end time sign. The very word itself now manifested as a sign. For after Malachi 4, 5, and 6, the false anointed one comes with signs and wonders. After Malachi 4, 5, and 6, after Moses, there's always Jannes and Jambres. After the prophet, there's always false teachers. See, now listen to me. The very signs that are to accompany the gospel, that follow the word, are now set forth by the word itself, that they will fool all but the elect, because the people refuse to take all signs back to the word itself and place those signs with the word. They won't do it. And you preach a message like this in any charismatic church, I'd be not only booed out, they'd tar and feather me. Well, I couldn't even preach this kind of message. I stood up in Fort Worth, Texas one time, among a bunch of charismatic Latter-day Saints. And I said, the trouble with Pentecost is, and I said, I'm the one of them, so I know what I'm talking about. They mistake the awareness of the Holy Ghost for the true anointing. I said, the telephone rings on the wall. It goes ding-a-ling-ling, and you don't jump on a hoo-hoo, scream, jump, holler, talk in tongues. You take the phone off and say, hello, and you get information. I said, so when the Spirit of God anoints you, and you become aware of God, you don't scream and jump and holler. You say, what is it, Lord? I'm listening to you. Oh, my, they're ready to kill me. Oh, I was booed out of the place. Don't boo on. I'm not about to change. I learned even more since then, back in 1956. Then I got to travel with the prophet and heard him teach on anointing ones at the end time. Saw the whole thing open up. See? But already the Holy Spirit working in my heart made me to know something was wrong there. That no matter how you have gifts following, you don't put your faith in it until you can place it right with that word and stay right with that word. See? Yes, sir. Now, here those the signs falling become the very word of God fulfilled itself, and we must place them with the word. Talk about deception. That's exactly what we read over here in 2 Thessalonians, see? And it's the same thing that Peter prophesied. Let's go to the second chapter of Acts. Now, because these are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that spoken by the prophet Joel. Here is the word of God fulfilled, a sign to the people. And it'll come to pass, said God, in the last days, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants, men servants, and on my women servants, I'll pour my spirit in those days, and they'll prophesy, and I'll show wonders in heaven. Right before the great tribulation takes place, it categorically says here that anybody and everybody can have the spirit of God upon them, and like a veil, they'll prophesy genuine prophecy, and there'll be false prophets. Now that's the word of God fulfilled, my brother, my sister. That's a sign of the end time, the word of God itself fulfilled. And people think they can play with gifts in the church today. They think they don't put the gifts under order. Let me tell you, my brother, my sister, you believe what you want. But I know your pastor behind me believes like I do. You'll put those gifts where they belong. and you'll not be fool to deceive. You'll take every sign back to the Word of God. Check it right out and see where you stand. Because that's a fool at the end time. Yes, sir. People with signs and wonders, that's not it at all. God performs every great sign and wonder. There's nothing against those miracles of the 16th chapter of the book of Mark. Just place them with the Word and see exactly where you are. Put them under church order. Get that right spirit among you. Trace it all down. Stay with that Word. God will bless you and take you out here in a rapture one of these days. Yes, sir. The elect will not be deceived. No, they won't be deceived. People think they will, but they won't. Now, Peter prophesied it. He said, your sons and my sons, your daughters, my daughters, both doing the same thing. Then comes the great tribulation. And it's going on right now. Oh my, I was so sorry for a man deceived. Wonderful brother down in Birmingham, Alabama. He's a precious brother. But he went to a man's meeting where the man was an alcoholic. Did despicable things. But he said he's got to be a God because these signs and wonders are here. And I couldn't help but say, what about Balaam? Yes, sir, Balaam truly prophesied. Everything he said is still coming to pass, but he was as phony as a $3 bill. He died fighting the children of Almighty God, and he was said to take the wages of divination. He could pray with one hand to God and the devil in the other, and I'm afraid that's what's going on right today, and people don't even know it. Because when you're using gifts of the Holy Ghost and you're outside the Word of God, brother, sister, then we are not in God's ball game; we're in the devil's ball game. Pardon the vernacular, but that's it. Now, here is this great charismatic sign coming right out of the Word itself. God's own Word fulfilling itself at the end time. The word of Malachi 4, 5, and 6, or James 5 and 7, and Ezekiel 12 and 7. Let's go back to James 5. Now, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he received the former and the latter rain. Now remember, the latter rain comes first, and it's in the midst of the latter rain. Which latter rain, by the prophet, is the genuine signs and wonders, then comes in the midst of it the early rain, or the former rain, which is the reteaching of the Word of God. Because that's what it means over in Joel. The Mora is the teacher of the teaching, because they're the same. Then comes it, and it says that this is going to bring the dead out of the ground. It is not the latter rain that does it, it is the former rain that does it. Because the latter rain is a sign of a vindication to listen to with the prophet. See? Then when that former rain comes, then the word becomes fulfilled of Mark 16 that the false anointed ones have it. But people never read their Bible, never face up to it, and then they say, well, I'm vindicated too. I've got something also. Okay, let's go back to Ezekiel, the 12th chapter. That refers again to the book of Revelation again, but we won't go into that one. Ezekiel 12, if I have it exactly right. We'll see now. All right, verse 7. It's the last part of verse 6. For I have set thee for a sign unto the house of Israel, he said. See what he said here. See? And I did so as I was commanded. I brought forth my stuff by day, a stuff by captivity, even as I dig through the wall of mine hand. I brought it forth in the twilight and bear it upon my shoulder. In other words, in the twilight, in the evening hour, when it's neither dark nor light, the prophet becomes a sign. The prophet is a sign, the Son of Man. Because that's what God called Ezekiel. And in the end time it repeats, the prophet, with his great ministry, becomes a sign. See? And this has all been deserted. See? It's been left behind. But the signs stay on, though, as though all doers were prophets or shepherds of the truth. But they can't be, because Matthew 24:24 says opposite. Now remember, Matthew 24:24 does not fight Mark 16. A lot of people act as though it does, but it doesn't. It does not. Mark 16 is still here. Absolutely. But you have to watch it. Because now, not only is following the Word, and those people don't have the Word, it has become the charismatic proof that they are of God, but they are not of God. Why? Because they've left the Word. And there's where the deception is, see? It's not hard to understand this. If you just look at it, it's very close there. Now, don't cross the Word up. We are to take both to the Word. And we are to divide them correctly or we will perish like Cain and Abel. Now, let's just go back to scripture over here in Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 23, 25 to 29. Now watch. I have heard what the prophets saith. The prophets, they prophesy lies in my name saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. Now you've got that going on all the time. How many places have I gone in this message where especially women are to blame? They'll have their dreams, and then they'll talk about somebody and literally blackmail them, and people will listen. It's happened in Ohio with our pastor. It happened up in Canada. And then one lady got mad in British Columbia because I lowered the boom. And I said, what nonsense! You hear some blabbermouth woman with a dream. Now, old Evil's cutting like a dirty old dog that he is. I don't go to apologize one little bit. If there's any women here in that category, you better flee for your life, because you're getting down the Broadway to destruction, and you'll be taking souls with you. You keep your dreams to yourself. Because unless there's a prophet to interpret it, that dream must be word by word. Yeah, I'm going to blame women. I got men in this too. And they're doing it. I've dreamed. Who cares that much about your dream? We've had a vindicated prophet. We've had the very word of God fulfilled in this hour as the sign. We place it with the word. Then who needs the dreams? Let those dreams be exactly written out, and let them come to pass exactly as they are. Let them be up there in the pulpit if you think you got something. Let any prophecy come forth in the room. Let it be judged. Bring it up here and see where we go. See? Now, it may sound hard, but we're fighting for our lives. Why? Because this is that age of deception, see? Now, they prophesy lies. They prophesy deceit out of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name. What do we talk about the name this morning? The word of God revealed. Yeah. A woman prophesies and she's right, but she does it on the floor. And because it's a genuine prophecy, the pastor says, there you are, it's supposed to take place here, and because it come to pass, it's already judged. Hogwash, show me that where the word of God said so and the prophet said so. Now, I'm trampling on toes here because I'm giving you actual living cases of what's going on in the world in this message. You don't mind. Now, you say he doesn't mind. It'd be too late anyway. You'd have to correct all my errors. Cover up for me being a treacherous fellow. I'm not treacherous. I'm telling you the truth. I am telling you the truth. And I get letters where men are swayed by a gift. It proves that they think a man's proven right by a woman on the floor saying something. She can't even talk on the floor. Sure, it's right. Call this the word of God. Brother, sister, you better free for your lives. We're not here trying to prove anything anymore. We're here preaching that which has been proven. I'm not here to vindicate myself. I'm putting myself right here where the word of God says. If anything's going to come, check her by the word. See if I've got something or not. See if I'm over there in Mark 16, now in a fulfilled area here, where I'm going to deceive the people. Let's check her out. If I want her, I'm going to bring her right to the light. Let the Bible teach it. Bring it to the light. Let's see if Calvary's in effect. Let's see if we're under the blood. Yeah. See where we're going. But they're doing it. And they forget, which caused the people to forget my name. When I was over in Europe, you couldn't even say what the prophet said till you checked to some other man to see if he said it. I had a man supposed to interpret for me, and he wouldn't say what I was saying because somebody else had said different. I said, look, I'm responsible. Didn't bother him. He said, skip it. Want to go home now? Since you want to know the truth, I'm here to tell you. I don't care, bastard, across the heavens. Such nonsense that people are preaching. That's what this message is all about, these so-called leaders. And that's why I keep falling backwards. Don't ever call me a leader. Take a 4x4 and I'll show you where a leader is, all right? Lead off with my 4x4. I'm no leader. I preach. That's all I do. You check everything I say with the word of God. It's brought by a prophet. See if I'm off. If I'm off, come and tell me. Now, which caused to my people to forget my name. That's a revealed word. By their dreams, they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. And Baal is one of the names of God. Wrong revelation of him. See? The prophet that hath the dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Tell your names. Go ahead. There's going to be someone who'll stick with the word, though. Don't bother. Don't worry. There'll be someone who'll stick with the word. Let them tell their dreams. That's my trouble. I always get annoyed and butt my nose in. I got a big nose. Should have been knocked off by now a long time ago. It's been broken, but never knocked off. Let them go ahead. Let them do what they want. Don't you be with them. He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. And what is the chapter of the week? That's end time today with the rapture coming on. If you're weak, get away from the chaff. His brother said, stay away from that stuff. But they don't want to do it. Now remember, Mark 16 is still in effect. Yes, sir. Romans 12 is in effect. 1 Corinthians 12 is in effect. But put them with the word. See? Because now they're no longer following the Word. They have taken a sinister position. It now becomes the Word of God fulfilled unto deceiving. And there it stands, and people still can't understand it. Well, can you understand it? I hope so. Your pastor does. I know that for a fact. Because all the time he's telling me how that people just won't go to a vindicated Word. He said, this is five. I believe what he does. This is where you start. If you can't see vindication, you can't see anything. Forget it. Not what you and I think. Not what you and I experience. What does the Word say? Because there's a greater experience coming, which is the Word of God fulfilled in you and me, when the Scripture says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I want that. That's the Word of God fulfilled again. You watch that sign. It'll be too late when that sign comes, my brother, my sister. Yes, sir. I don't want to lose anything. Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? And didn't Brother Branham preach on that? I come to hew you out. Sure, isn't it harvest time? Isn't it fire time? Isn't he fanning his hand, now purging his floor? Certainly. Isn't he gathering the wheat? Certainly. Well, I'm going to tell you, the shuck has already separated us, brother, says he wouldn't have us on a bit. I haven't been kicked out of any church yet, but I sure have been told not to come around. Well, hallelujah. Doesn't bother me at all. Just one more place left and you don't have to visit. I'm not mad about it. I'm philosophical. I don't care. Fine by me. I'm only going to preach one word, and that is the best of my knowledge. I'll do my best to stick with the prophet. If I miss the rapture itself and I have to go to hell, at least I'll say one thing. I did my best to stay with the vindicated word. I'll have that much consolation. Let's take a look here in Ezekiel 34 now. That's about your prophets. Let's take a little look at the shepherd here. Not too much. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. God says himself is going to come on down, because there's not a prophet, there's not a preacher, there's nobody in this dark, dismal day could help us. So Christ, the pillar of fire, came down, spoke forth face to face with the prophet, reveal the word of God to bring us back from being scattered, and the last message brings us in. Oh, I hope you can see it. Brother, sister. A vindicated message, the seven church age messenger, placing us correctly, placing us right in the hour in which we live. Melchizedek himself come down to show the high priest of our calling. Getting us ready. Brother, sister, you just can't beat that for grace and goodness. I don't know what people are talking about. I'm going to just skip over here quickly to the third chapter, 1 Corinthians. And I'm not really beefing tonight, sounds like it. And I do beef a lot, but this is really isn't a beef. I'm enjoying preaching this as a straight word of God, though I bring up these other things. Listen, we're going to start the third chapter. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you spiritual, but unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not meat, for hitherto you're not able to bear it. Neither are you yet able. In other words, the Corinthian church that's taken up with gifts and schisms absolutely cannot receive the full mature word of Almighty God and pass into that millennium. You're carnal, for there's strife among you, divisions. Are you not carnal, walk as men? One says, I'm a Paul, I'm a Paulus. Are you not carnal? I'm of this, I'm of that. See? Oh, I hate when somebody says, I follow Lee Vail. There's a fellow says that, and I say, don't say that. There's nobody going to follow me. Nobody. It's not meant that way. There's no teacher, there's no man on the road whatsoever. You have one authority in your church, which is your pastor that God gave you to see you through. And if he has the Holy Ghost, he will certainly see you through and stay with his word. But they're doing their best for people to run around and be somebody. I am nobody. And I'm not trying to be smart up here and get your favor by being humble, because I am not humble. I'm simply stating a fact. I'm nobody. I marvel that the people have put up with me as much as they do. I have no qualifications as a leader. I do my best to simply preach this word and stick with it. You judge it. You sit there and judge it. And if it's a God, you listen. If it's not a God, just let it go over your head. But never say, I believe this group and I believe that group. I believe this man and I believe that man. We have a vindicated prophet. We have been begotten unto God by the prophet. He said so, even as Paul said to the Corinthians. He said, you've got many teachers, but you've got one father have begotten you in the gospel. And so there was one prophet came with the word of God, which we say we believe. Then let's look at him and nobody else. And trust the Holy Ghost to take us through, right? Let your pastor do the work he's supposed to do. He's the important one. I just get so alarmed at men that run around and they try to lord it over the pastors. Without your pastor here and other pastors, I wouldn't have a place to go to or people to talk to. If there's anybody to look up to, it's the man that you got as your head. See, now I'm just trying to place this the way the Word of God says it, and I have done it, and that's it.
Now, he said, what is Paul? Who is Apollos, the ministers by whom you believe, even as God gave to every man? I planted, Apollos watered. God gave the increase, so neither he that plants anything or he that waters, but God who gives the increase. Now, he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man receives his reward according to his own labor. We're fellow laborers together. We're God's husbandry according to God's grace. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. Christ laid the foundation. It's revelation. See? Now, here we are at the end time. Here we are, brother, sister. And what's going on? People think they've got a certain type of vindication that says, look at me, I've been with the prophet, I've been this, I've got this, I heard from God, I heard that. I don't care that much what you heard. And you should feel the same way about me. Why? Because there's been a vindicated prophet. And now you watch every sign and place it with the word. And you welcome the 16th chapter of Mark into your church. You welcome everything God has to give you. But you're under divine order now. And you stay in the Word the way God puts you. And you're not looking here and looking there. But you're looking to that Word. And you're watching carefully that everything is judged by the Word. So you're exactly right, so you're not trapped. Oh, brother, sister, let me tell you. If the church would only let her mind go tonight and have faith in God, what a group there would be amongst us. What a great thing there'd be. And I'm still looking for it. I'm not discouraged. Every now and then God drops a little encouragement down into my heart. I feel real good again, knowing we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion in every widening spirals of God's grace and majesty and beauty. Yes, sir. And as Brother Branham said, don't, why, he said, should you bother with the false when the heavens are full of the real? Yes, sir. Oh, my brother, my sister, don't be discouraged. Don't do it. Don't look as though God's taking away ministries. Don't you believe that. It's all here. Just put it with the Word. Stand in that Word and see what will happen. I believe with all my heart there's going to be a people in this end time, brother, sister, that will stay with this Word, and you watch what God does, and you're not going to be running here because this fellow had a dream and that fellow heard a voice. Man said he heard a voice thunder. I don't care if you heard 50 thunders. It doesn't bother me any. You're not going to impress me. I want to impress you either. If I'm impressing you as a person, let's forget it. Never invite me back. Take your money back and boot me out of here. See, do you understand what I'm telling you? Brother, sister, it's all wrong. That's carnality to have any spirit other than what I'm trying to bring down, show you tonight. See? A vindicated message, a vindicated prophet. Then soon as that was done, what happened? Mark 16 began to be a word fulfilled. Your sons and your daughters, anybody with signs and wonders. And they began saying, look at me, I've got power, I'm of God too. But the scripture said, I never even knew you. Why? Because they left Malachi 4, 5, and 6. See? It's all we've seen since the prophet left. Somebody trying to be a Moses or an Elijah or something. But it won't work. No, it won't. Oh, I hope we can grasp the truth of what I'm saying. Signs have abounded since 1906 when the latter rain fell. But now it is the former rain of Zechariah 10 and 4. Let's see if I can find it. Think of its fourth verse. 10:4? No, first verse. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of latter rain. Why are you going to ask for rain and you got it? You don't ask for rain and you got it. What is he saying? He said, ask for the former rain in the time of the latter rain. And the latter rain's been falling since 1906. And the tremendous manifestation of it, the real tremendous one, 1946. To vindicate the man in the latter rain who has the former rain. And the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in his field. Oh, you bet. What is that? Water upon the grass. Water upon the people. The word of God coming through a vindicated ministry. Yes, sir. That's what he says here. And that's what we got right now. It is the time of the former rain. And during the latter rain, this former rain is the only way to trace all your signs back to the Word and see where it fits. It's the only way. No other way. No other way, see? That's why church order is a must. But don't think the gifts are on the shelf. And don't think because it's not working now that it won't work. Stay with it. Move in with God. Don't be afraid. See? And if something's to pass you by, it'll pass by, and God will bring something else in for you. But it'll all be with the Word. Don't worry about it. Just keep moving. Keep believing God. I believe with Brother Rosinke. When he said, or they said, people said, well, look, Brother Rosinke, nothing's happening. He said, remember what the prophet said. The spirit of prophecy may strike you tonight and never hit you again, but someone else will get it. He said, what if the night that you should have been there kneeling before God and you could have been used to God, you weren't there? See? Oh, yes, brother, sister. I have faith in this word that the prophet gave. I believe that there is plenty here for us. There's so much for us. The heavens are so full of the real thing. But remember, put it under church order and strive in love to serve. If you haven't got the spirit of love to serve your brother and put him first, it just won't come. We've got to have the right spirit. Everything else has been competition. gets right today, who are the great men? I'll tell you who the great men are. Those that get right down in the mud and lift their brother up. The fellow that can crawl under a snake with a 10-gallon hat on. He's the real guy. Not the big mucky muck that goes by sailing by and watch me, look at me, look at the great guy I am. Well, hallelujah. Now let me begin to close in saying this. I've been repeating this thing for roughly 1 year now, and I told you the other night. I use three tests. You don't have to use them, but I'm giving you what I use. First of all, try the Spirit by the Word, never vice versa. I go to many places, and somebody will come by and say, oh, that's a dead church. Well, I'm going to tell you something. According to a dead church, we have one in a high. Yes, we do. Because they don't have a very rousing song service, and they don't seem to have a very emotional service when it comes to praise. But I've never known a church in America that when anybody needs help, they all turn out and help them. And I would sooner have a bunch of people like the ant instead of the cricket. It's not even my church. Happens the Lord used me to raise up churches in that area just by being there to witness. But I'm going to tell you, when a brother came up from Florida one time, his father-in-law, who thought he knew Christians, was bowled over, literally bowled over, when he saw the people in a blizzard, having come 50 and 60 and 70 miles, were waiting all night to unload that man's stuff and see he had a warm house and was settled. I myself took over 2 weeks off the field with my wife. We worked 18 hours a day because it would have been a cow shed. We ripped all the plaster off where we could, put in the insulation, fixed the whole thing up with Brother Norman Lee, and saw the family wasn't going to suffer. When the landlord saw the people come to help me in an old apartment we had in a house because the cheapest so rent, he saw them pouring in men of caliber, his mouth dropped open, and he said, I should, if I ever build a house, I sure want to join that church first. I said, but you got to be with us a while so we'll know what you're like. Yeah, they may not sing like angels, but they act like angels. I hope you're getting the message. You never, never, never judge the Word by the Spirit. You judge the Spirit by the Word. Because I'll tell you, you'll have a Balaam come right to your midst, and he'll prophesy, and he'll come right to pass. You'll say, hallelujah, that's it, and it's not it. You got sucked right in. I remember the night that Brother Branham preached, he said, Balaam was a true prophet. That really undid my boots. Man, from the top down, I was unzipped. I went to him and I said, Brother Branham, you couldn't mean that Balaam was a true prophet because Moses was. He said, that's right, Moses was a true prophet, Balaam was. But I said, you said Balaam was a true prophet. Did you not mean he was truly a prophet? He said, that's what it was. He was truly a prophet, but he wasn't a true prophet. I said, thank heavens. Why, man, I'd have been so mixed up, I wouldn't know what happened. That's like when he said you can receive the Holy Ghost baptism 100 times a day and still be lost. What Holy Ghost baptism? That anointing of talking in tongues, not the genuine. I asked him about that, too. Oh, my. Listen, try the Spirit by the Word. Check out and see. Is God there? Give him the Word test. Secondly, try the Spirit of the man that comes to you. What does the man want? Why is the man pastoring? Why is he doing anything? Check it out. What's his motive? If you see his motive, his godly motive to serve, to try to help you, then that's the one you're looking for. That's what you got right there. Thirdly, Brother Branham said, once you see this message, that's all you'll see in the Word. And I maintain that as the one thing I want to do above all else. If I'm going to preach anything Brother Branham said, I want to be able to do it from the Word, because that's what he preached it from. When the angels of God, the embodiment of the Holy Ghost, swept in the room 7 times in 1 week, he said, well, praise the Lord, went right to his concordance, went right to his Bible, and checked the whole thing through. He didn't say, hallelujah, had an angel come, and hallelujah, the angel said this, so I believe God, hallelujah, because there's angels. Listen, I'm going to tell you flat, I believe in angels, and I believe they're not all of God. I believe in preachers, they're not all of God. I believe in prophets, they're not all of God. You bet. I'm a believer, and I got 2 kinds of faith. I got a faith in God, and I got a faith in the devil, but the faith I put in the devil is not the faith I put in God. But I believe in the devil, don't worry. I believe he's real, and I believe he's got a certain thing that God exposed here. And I say this, if we say we're saying what the prophet says, we better not just quote, 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 we better go to the Bible. Because I tell you one thing, if the prophet said it and we can't find it, we better watch it, because he got it out of the Bible. See, I'm not saying he said anything contrary to the Bible, I'm saying he got it out of the Bible, he traced it right through, but you and I might be misunderstanding what he said. So if I go to that Word, then I know I'm saying the same thing he said, because I'm going to preach the same Bible he preached, but he opened it up to me. Now, you might not see that, that's fine. But I go by those three things. See, that way I feel I'll be on very safe ground. Now, that way we will see every sign that accompanies the gospel and place it exactly with the Word by the Spirit that has been given us for the very purpose. See? This way we can try and see, because they're there. Now, we have seen our great sign of this closing age. We have seen our great sign. We sure have. Now, we are to stay with that Word, for it is the Word of God fulfilled.
Our great sign was Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and coming of the great and great day, Lord, and he shall turn the heart children back to the Father. And that same one is to restore all that the prophets said, or God said by the mouth of all the holy prophets. And we saw the ministry, we saw it all here. Now that's the word of God fulfilled, and we're staying with it, see? And that's going to take us to rapturing faith. The sign has correctly been proven and identified as the living word of the hour. Nothing more is needed. The word given lives, and it's living in us. And remember, it'll not return void. Stay with the word. The prophet, and the prophet who brought the word. That's the thing, see? How many people today will say we're talking too much about a prophet and try to get our eyes off of him? Brother, sister, let me tell you flat. If I can quote Paul and Moses, I can quote William Branham. Now, in the seventh seal, Brother Branham said that he alone had thus saith the Lord. Nobody else. And it's right, nobody else had it. Nobody else had his ministry, and those that tried to copy were under the false anointing. See, remember that God gave gifts to the church. But he gave gifts to the rebellious also. And those gifts are prophetic gifts and miracle gifts that we see in the scripture. And remember, the rebellious are those that are called in witchcraft, as Samuel said, because they will not believe the word. They won't do it. Now, in possessing all things, here's what Brother Branham said. Keep your conversation low. If it's not predestinated to carry the load, it'll blow up in your face. He said that when the gun that he shot off could not carry the load and could have killed it. And he said the same thing to you and me. And there are people who act and talk as though they're somebody. I know of a man who told a friend of mine in Canada, he said, the people, the world, must hear from me. So I immediately shut both ears with my earplugs and walked off, tucked my head underwater, and that did it. Not interested. I'm sorry, I'm not interested. Now, if you think I'm a heathen, you think what you want, that's okay. If you think someone else is going to come I'm listening to, that's fine. There are people I should listen to. But when a man says, people got to hear from him, I'll walk right off because I don't got to hear from nobody. I'm here from God. I've already heard, by the way, of the prophet. Yes, sir. Now, we're cutting it right down fine. As I say, you go any way you want because you're your own bosses. You got to pass it off. But I'm telling you where I stand tonight, that brother, sister, I have seen a vindicated prophet. I have heard from him. I have seen his spirit. I have caught it on occasions when God has dealt with a man. I am not going to listen to anybody else. Why? Because we have a vindicated message, and the Holy Ghost is now teaching us. There are no great ones among us. He is the great one, the Holy Ghost. And God has set the word in his church. I don't look for another person to come. No, sir. I believe we have had that end-time prophet. And I believe the word is being fulfilled in us. I just can't see an eighth messenger. I cannot see anybody. And remember, he said to those of us who would think we are somebody, who try to boast and act as though we've got something, he said, keep your conversation low. Because if it's you're not predestinated to it, he said, you watch, you blow up. Now, that's a pretty solemn warning. It's a solemn warning for you and for me, brother, sister, to be very humble, to just be dear followers of Christ. As Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. We have had a prophet. There is no place for isms amongst us. There's no place for schisms. There's no place for men to rise up and say, listen to me. Every time somebody comes on real hard, once more the bride splits, once more there's a schism, and it just breaks my heart. And if I am doing that very thing, may God take me away in death before I do it one more time. I'm sincere. I want to die tonight. I don't want to go stand before God with any more multiplied sin on me. If I am causing division by any stand that I take, where people look to me instead of somebody else, or in other words, we're pitting person against person instead of each other drawing to that word and keeping our eyes on him who is that word, right with the word of God in the framework, then brother, sister, let me tell you, there's only one favor you can do me tonight, and that's pray God to kill me before I do any more damage. And I mean it. I'm not being melodramatic up here. And I'm not being psychological, getting your attention and saying, well, now brother Dale's a sweet, humble one. Now listen to him, hogwash, I am not sweet, I am not humble. Let's get that flat. I am right down to earth with the word of God the best I can. Get your eyes off of everybody and everything but that word fulfilled. Watch it. Stay with it. Stick with your pastor. Yes, sir. Now, oh, what a great sign we had at the end time. The word itself revealed, which is placing us exactly, it is. And that revealed word is the name of the Son of God in which we believe. What more do we want? What more do we want? Why are people still looking for this and the other thing? Why cannot we be content with the word of the hour, obey it, walk in the light, and then see the hand of God move amongst us and work?
I want to encourage you, brother, sister. I don't know if my message has been encouraging, more or less tonight in the eye of an eye-opener to sort of just, to kind of whack into shape so you don't get twirled around by anybody. But I really mean it another way, too, and that's to encourage you. Don't give up faith in the things of God. This is the hour when we can have whatever God wants to give us in the realm of the truly genuine by placing ourselves in the right position spiritually and by faith waiting on Him. I believe it. Mark 16 is not dead. Matthew 24 has not abrogated it. The prophet coming has put the church in order so that now, in sincerity and in love and in faith, and faith worked by love, you just see God move amongst us. See, don't be afraid, brother, sister. Oh, so many get so afraid that they back off. And then so many get so lazy, they're tickled to death to back off. Come on, let's break down tonight, shall we? Let's let our hair down. Let's examine our hearts and say, look, why have I just stopped believing certain things are in the Word? Why have I gotten cagey? Why am I the way I am? Let's give ourselves a real bacon break tonight. I've been saying quite some time within myself, if I was back pastoring, I would deliberately go ahead and lay myself open to see what God might do. They said to Brother Branham, well, Brother Branham, you put us on the spot. He said, ain't I on the spot? Sure, we put ourselves on the spot. But isn't it better to go on the spot here instead of be, perchance, over there? I'd sooner find out now. I'd sooner see what God has for me. I want to encourage you tonight. Don't be afraid. Believe God. See? Sure, there's none of us perfect. There's not one of us is perfect. But I'm going to tell you, God is perfect. The Holy Spirit is perfect. His Word revealed is perfect. And as we commit ourselves to Him, it's been proven how perfect it is. And whatever God wants us to have, we can have amongst us. I don't say we're all going to prophesy, we're all going to talk in tongues, we're all going to interpret, we're all going to have a gift healing. No. But you know, Brother Branham went so far as to say that every local assembly could have all nine gifts in it.
Sure.
You know that that Romans 12 is standing there open to us, where it mixes in the teacher with the exhorter, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. How would you like to be one of those persons? A nice mercy ministry, and cheerful with it. Not just, well, I'll take care, I'll do it this time, huh? You know, I'll do it again. No, but say, brother, I understand perfectly. I'm human like you are. I've fallen many times. Yes, yes. With so much the day of barking dogs. Come on, come on. It's time to change the spirit, brother, sister. If we've seen the God of all grace come down amongst us and show His grace to us and show what the circle of blood does, then where's our grace? Surely we can enter into it. I want to encourage you to be alive to the things of God. Don't back off. We're not in some slumber here. You follow me? Brother Branham said things are happening so fast. God's moving. Don't just say to yourself, well, it's nice what Brother Vail's saying, but there's no buts to it. It's getting greater and greater toward the perfect day. Grace is increasing. Mercy is increasing. Love is increasing. Everything to the bride. Of course, it's wetting down out there. Certainly. But you mean to tell me we can be coming that very age, that day when some of us are going to walk right to the tree of life and not miss one step and walk right into immortality, and you tell me it's not getting better and better and gooder and gooder and greater and greater? Certainly it is. Certainly it, brother, sister. Yeah, absolutely. We're not negative. Oh, I know some would say, well, Brother Vail, your sermon's negative. My sermon was not negative. It was calling a nail, a hammer, and just laying it out. I never took away a thing from anybody. Just laid it out as a prophet said to lay it out. Now let's go on and look to the Lord. And see the Lord heal the sick amongst us. See the Lord minister us. See the Lord deal with our problems. See us in a greater frame of an attitude of humility. See? Where we can really turn the cheek. If the prophet said, Lord, let me be like you, where I can turn the cheek. If they want to pluck the whiskers on this side, just turn that side. See? Brother said, let me tell you, I believe that. I believe with all my heart. The prophet said there was going to be a super, super race. Because he said that bride would have the word, and she'd know what to do with it, or she wouldn't even move. See? What is here for us this hour? Not something diminishing. Brother Branham said that if God expected something out of Luther, and more out of Wesley, and more out of Pentecost, he said, what's going to come out of this age? Not looking and saying, oh, I'm scared, God's expecting something. Oh, no, brother, sister, that's not it. I'm alive to the fact of what God is doing. See, that's the understanding now what we're talking about? Signs in the Word. Sure, there are signs that follow the Word. But there are signs that the Word itself fulfilled, showing the very hour in the day in which we live. And that's already happened among us. Malachi 4, 5, and 6 has been fulfilled. The restoration of God's Word. The first step to the rapture, the show. See? Putting the church in order. The great mysteries of God shown. Christ Himself coming down in the midst and proving He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. See? Brother, sister, listen. It's time. Maybe we ought to just stir ourselves. It's time maybe that secret closet ought to be filled about an hour a day. Yes, sir. Getting before God with the hope of rejoicing that has been shown to us. See? When Jesus was here, Simeon and Anna were here. Brother Branham was here. Yes, and I believe we got the same caliber in the Holy Ghost amongst us today. But you understand the hour in which you live and see the great God, the grace of God manifest. I myself, brother, sister, do not see a slacking off. I don't see a slacking off. No, sir, to me there cannot be. Slacking off of the world, yes. Getting rid of this and that, yes. But a coming up into Christ, I see must be more virulent, more dynamic than it is. God, as far as I'm concerned, has spoken to my heart, and I'm greatly cheered on the road. And I believe down the road I'll be greatly cheered even more, that mine eyes shall behold by revelation even more and more, until that power of revelation, the Holy Ghost, building up in me, is going to manifest what God wants. I believe that, brother, sister. Yes, sir, in this hour, God's Word has been vindicated. God's been vindicated. Oh, that means that the heavens open to us. The Lord bless you. Shall we rise at this time? Our dear Lord Jesus, Lord of glory, you, Lord, who rose from the dead, you who triumphed over sin, the flesh, and the devil, you who were tempted in everything as we are, and even greater, and you suffered even under the shedding of blood, striving against sin, which we haven't done. You who are a great mediator, such faith we have in you, and you who by the Spirit came down and once more demonstrated, yes, you. We thank you tonight that you have proven our confidence in you is worthwhile, and not only worthwhile, but showing us how great should be that confidence. How great it should be, because you weren't here, Lord, proving yourself. You were showing yourself to us, revealing to us that we might know. And here we are, Lord, at this end time, what the prophet said. And Lord, I believe it. I've stood as I'm preaching it. And I'll never forget the words of that old preacher that you sent across my pathway when he said, you get what you preach for. And I'm preaching for that tonight, Lord, with all of my heart. Lord God, tonight I admit I don't see everything in my own life that I want to see. And it may take, Lord, the resurrection to see everything, and I know it will, the way I want to see it, according to your word. But right now, tonight, Lord, I know there's a place for everyone in this building, in your word, to see themselves as bride, to see themselves as sons, to see themselves fully identified, and to rise to the occasion. Yes, Lord, I believe it. And here, as we celebrate our own bicentennial, we are in the end of the 2,000 years since you have gone away, preparing a place for us. And we're sure that there is a place prepared for somebody. And by your grace tonight, Lord, we have staked our claim in one of the mansions in glory because we have identified ourselves with you and we have seen you as you are. And Lord, we're believing now for whatever there lies in the adoption and the manifestation of the sons of God, this side of the resurrection. We are also staking our claim tonight, Lord, believing that we are a part of it and we shall absolutely be proven and shown by grace. You doing it, Lord, not we doing it, but we just count ourselves a part of it. We do, Lord, not by anything that we would say we have attained to of our own, but, Lord, because you've invited us. And now, Heavenly Father, tonight, as we look within ourselves by the word of the Lord, we believe we're more than conquerors. We believe we're well able for all the things which are on earth. And by your grace, Lord, we count that we're able to meet every temptation, to defeat every foe as is necessary, to make everything right that needs to be made right, to begin to bring our lives, Lord, in line, not as though we did it ourselves, but by seeing that which works within us. By seeing it, Lord, and then we know that we're right. Because, Father, this is that day of such care. This is that day, Lord, when we want to be absolutely right, to be one with the Word, and to not say or do anything until we know we're just absolutely operating in it. And, Heavenly Father, we believe that. And we believe that's a growth, a maturing that's coming on amongst us. And we thank you for it, Lord God. We're rejoicing in it, Lord Jesus, that it's going to be even as you said. And Lord, we ourselves don't even know exactly what it's all about. But we know one thing, that you always amplify and make greater. You never take away. And your prophets showed us that. And Father, we thank you for it. So we stand here tonight, Lord, in your grace. And we believe, Lord, if you bring us together again, we might once more talk about the good things that you have given us in your word, that we, all of us together, will have grown in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, maturing up into him who is the head, Lord, and we coming right up, even as we know that we're supposed to mature in love, and every member giving forth as it has been anointed to give forth, each one members of another coming up into Christ, the Spirit of God moving amongst us, even as life moves amongst our very members with each one of us. Heavenly Father, I know that's what you want. And then, Lord, coming up to the very place of the wifely obedient, recognizing the head and following in the grace that has been set before us. Lord, I see it all right to the marriage supper. I see it, Lord, tonight, and there it is. And, Lord, by your grace, I would love to identify myself with it as these dear ones do tonight. Not as though, Lord, we gave our own invitation and came walking in without a garment. But Lord, having heard your voice and a sheep following right to that day. So Father, we thank you for it. Bless the pastor here, Lord, his family. Bless the people, O God. May they really be one. May the Spirit of God move amongst them. May all little things disappear which ought to disappear, and the great beautiful things of God flourish which they're hungering and longing for. Lord, we love them in the truth. And Father, we know that if we love them, how much more you must love them. And if we see a grace in them, how much more do you see grace? Because, Lord, you are a great lover of men's souls. And so we thank you for them. And thank you, Lord Jesus, now for the time we've had together. Just pray you'll bless us all. Keep us in health and strength, Lord, according to your gracious and good will. And may we all, Lord, if we not stand here together in the flesh as we know it at this hour, may we in changed flesh all stand together as a church-age bride going up in the series as they go up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We pray this, Lord, not one missing. And now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Lord bless you, brother.